Blog Talk Radio.
Today's segment of the A New Day Show. Happy Sunday to you, wherever you're joining me from. Marben, thanks for coming. Guest 3762-3760-3677. Welcome to the show. Oh, it was a gorgeous, gorgeous sunny day here in Connecticut today. My girlfriend Alicia came home with me after church because for those of you who are my friends on Facebook, you notice that I put on there that my car transmission died. So my girlfriend who live a few towns away came and picked me up for church this morning. And then we decided we were cooking out on the grill, made a delicious grilled vegetable with fresh tuna. And it was delicious. So we had a wonderful, wonderful time out there and just have some great laughter on this beautiful Sunday evening. So I want to thank you for joining me and for spending time with me this evening. You all know that I do not take this lightly. I want to welcome guests 3815 to the show. We have a caller on your first three digits are 773. If you want to talk, you will need to raise your hand so I know that you are not just listening. And there might be some more alteration in today's segment. I am not sure that I will have the first guests on the show who were supposed to be calling in from Africa. There has been some unforeseen circumstances which may hinder us from having those guests on. However, I have asked my second guest, Terry Clay from Atlanta, Georgia, to stand by to call in if needs be. So either way, we are going to just be rocking and rolling because that's what we're all about here on this show. And as you know, on Sundays, we deal with life issues. And this unforeseen circumstances that we are faced with this evening, it's one of those life issues that raises its ugly head. So we are not going to be bogged down or discouraged by whatever it is, but we are still going to go on and we are going to be doing business as usual. The number to call in is 646-915-8166. That's the number that you will call in if you need to ask me a question or make a remark, or if you have a question for a friend of for my guest. Again, the number is 646-915-8166. Feel free to call in. The chat room is open. The phone lines are open. And if you are holding on the line and you want to speak, I think you need to touch 1 to let me know you want to talk. However, Terry, I think you're on the line. So maybe in another few minutes. Is that you on the phone? I'm not sure, Terry. If that's you on the phone, you need to raise hand, or I notice you're in the chat room. Marben, thank you, my sister, for turning up. I'm glad. I know you're always so busy on a Sunday evening, but I'm so glad that you have the time to join me this evening, because you're such a sweet spirit. And thank you, my darling. I know you're multitasking. I know you're probably eating those delicious, peanut butter cookies that you're always eating for dessert. And, okay, all right. Okay, so now I understand. So I'm going to just open the lines here for this caller that's here, and see whether they want to speak or they just want to listen. If you do not want to speak, when I open the line, you just does not need to say anything. So I'm going to open your line now and see whether you want to speak. Caller, your first 3 digits are 773. Would you like to speak? Okay, so I get it. You're listening, and I thank you. If there is a time when you want to speak, I encourage you to just press 1, and I will put you live. Okay, Terry, please go ahead and call in on 646-915-8166. And we'll just go ahead with your conversation now, because I don't see the guest calling in. Let me just go here a minute.
Go ahead.
Hello, Paul. You are on live. You're calling in on Skype. Hello, caller. You need to lower your computer. You're on live, caller. Who is this?
You're calling in on Skype.
Please turn the volume down on your computer. Is this Terry? Okay. I guess I lost them. When you call in, for those of you who might be in the chat room and on the computer, when you call in, you need to turn the volume and your computer down so we do not get a feedback, because it's distracting and you will not be able to hear me. So my second guest, Terry Clay, if you are listening, please call in. It's 646-915-8166. So we can go ahead with your conversation now instead of at 8 p.m. And I am going to just say something here, because I feel led to say it. You know, in this world, we find circumstances that comes our way, and sometimes we get threatened and we get judgmental and we get jealous about another person. Or sometimes people feel as if people is stealing their ideas and all of that kind of thing. Let me explain something to you and to let you know. I see you, caller, on Skype. I will be with you in a minute. Let me say something to you. A vision that you have that God gave to you, no one can ever take it from you. They can work alongside you and encourage you, but there's no way they can take it from you because it is authentically yours. It is authentically yours. So let us just get busy and do God's work without feeling threatened or insecure about the things that we are about. So with that being said, I'm going to go to my caller on Skype and see who that is. Caller, you're live. You're calling in on Skype. What's your name and where you're calling from, please?
This is Terry Clay calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hello, Miss Terry.
Hey.
How are you?
Hello, how are you?
I am blessed and highly favored, and I have never felt more authentic than I do feel today.
All right, all right.
Well, I just want to thank you. I want you to thank you for stepping up to the plate and for coming on earlier because, you know, the ugly head of the enemy decided to show itself today. And I'm not going to step down and allow that to overpower me. So I just like to nip things in the bud and to call things for what I see them. So
right.
I am so glad that you are here. We are going to rock and roll. The guests are going to be, and the listeners rather, we'll be learning so much from you because I know you have a powerful story. So
that's right.
In a minute, I'm going to take a short commercial break, and then I'm going to bring you on to just do your introduction. And while I take the break, if you would just please get your water so that when we start talking, you don't have to be disturbed to go get it. So a time for a little commercial break.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
All right. I also want to encourage you to save the date for March the 23rd through the 26th when I will be hosting the Vision Transformation Revolution Conference in New York City. It's going to be at the New York Millennium Broadway Hotel Sotheby's in Times Square in New York City. So if you have never been to New York City, this is your opportunity. So mark it in another week or so, we are going to reveal to you who the amazing lineup of speakers are. And then in another couple of weeks, we should have this Vision Weekend Conference site live that you can go ahead and register. In the meantime, what you can do for us is visit our fan page on Facebook. It's Vision Weekend Conference. Just go there, like our page, and encourage your friends and associates to like it as well. So without any further delay, I would love to introduce to you my honored guest, Miss Terry L. Clay, out of Atlanta, Georgia. Terry, welcome to the A New Day Show.
All right, I am here. How are you?
I am wonderful. Would you take this time to set the stage for my listeners? Tell them who Terry is, when she came into the world, and tell us a little about your humble beginnings. And we just want to set the stage for people before we share your story.
Yeah, I was born to Brenda Clay Stone, and that is my mother. She was a single parent, and about a she was a single parent almost instantly. And about a month or so after I was born, she ended up meeting someone, and then they got married by the time I was a year old. And so my father is my stepfather, but he's really my father because that's the only dad that I've known. But I was raised in church, and I was raised knowing who God was and those sort of things. And what happened was at 14 years old, my parents told me that I really couldn't date till I was 16 years old or 17 years old, a little older than when I was trying to date. And I met this guy that I virtually told them, and I snuck and dated the guy anyway. And did you want to know this much, or did you want to?
No, I just wanted you to speak, introduce who you are, not get into your story yet. So
okay,
you know, like most African American family, you were born and raised in the church.
Oh
and
yes,
I know for black people that's an important thing. It doesn't matter what they do during the week, but come Sunday, all road leads to church, and if they were Seventh-day Adventist on Saturday, all road leads to church. So you were...
That's right, and that's what I am. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, so it's today. It was for me.
I'm sorry?
I said I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, so it was Saturday for me.
Okay. So
yes.
You're a typical American girl. However,
right.
like most American girls, you were defiant too when your parents told you something you shouldn't
That's
do.
That's right.
You just figure, oh,
That's right.
I know better than you. So listen, I'm saying that for you young kids now. The things that you are doing and saying, hey, we have been there, done that. So just listen up. It's a reason why I dedicate Sunday's show to life issues, because you can shorten the curve of the mistakes you make by just listening to these shows, because you can learn a thing or two for those of us who have been on this journey for a lifetime. So, you're not supposed to date until age X, and especially you weren't supposed to date boy X. However, you went ahead and did it anyhow, huh?
That's right.
And what age was that? You say, oh, man, I know it all. They don't know what they're talking about. They're old school.
I was 14 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what happened? He swept you off your feet. What happened?
Well, I liked him. I remember I liked him a lot.
You
and I thought he was cute. I guess that's what the girls call him, cute. And, you know. And he started trying to talk to me actually at 13, but I kind of gave him a runaround until I was 14. At 14, I kind of said, okay, I'll start dating him. And then when my mother found out about it, she was like, no, you're not, it's too young. You're too young to date. And so I just went ahead and started dating him anyway, even though quote unquote, behind my parents' back.
So let me ask you something. What were some of the excuses you gave to your mother so you could get to go out with Mr. Cute?
Well, it was really mostly because we were at school. It wasn't hard to, I didn't have to really give excuses. But sometimes I would say in the summertime, I remember I would say stuff like, oh, I'm going walking with my friends. And, you know, we'll walk by the house. His house.
Lordy, lordy.
I will go to the park.
and everybody would be, we used to meet, there was a bridge that people, we used to have a swimming pool near our house, and there was a bridge that was near the house, and everybody used to hang out on that bridge, and you could almost just go there at almost any time in the summer, and people would be there just hanging out, talking and laughing and stuff. Mm. So we would just tell, are we going to go over there near the bridge and talk? Well, of course, he would eventually be over there, you know. So that was a lot of the excuses, just that we were going to hang out with other friends. Right.
Wow. So you started at 14, and how long did you date Mr. Cute for?
Well, I dated him eventually for 7 years, but before my parents found out, it was a year. And they found out by me being pregnant. So it wasn't like they were told.
Oh, Lord. So you were 15 and pregnant.
That's right.
And what did your mama say, Terry?
Oh, she was devastated. I remember, because what it was, I used to be very, very thin, like a size 0 or 3.
Mm.
And so she noticed that I was sleeping a lot and that my stomach was getting a little bigger, and you would notice it with somebody a 0 or 3, you know, that had a very flat stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was kind of like, you must be pregnant. I said, no. You know, I would tell her, no, of course. And then one Saturday on our way to church, she swooped and took me to get a pregnancy test at one of those clinics. So after they came back and said yes, you know, she was very devastated. She was hurt. So
did you know you were pregnant, Terry?
Yeah, I kind of figured that I was, but I just, you know, I didn't want to tell her.
And it's surprising to me that your mom did not realize that you missed your periods, because normally mothers are watching those things to see, let me see if she gets her monthly, you know.
Well, I think she did kind of notice it, but she didn't stay on me much about, you know.
Yeah.
She didn't stay on me about it. Let's just say that.
Yes. So you had the baby, and by the time you had the baby, you were how old?
16. I got almost 16.
And did you have to give up school when you became pregnant?
Oh, no. I graduated with the my class. I graduated with my regular class. I went to a school for pregnant girls, actually, so that kind of helped. And you can take your child to school.
Any classes. Okay.
Right.
And as before we go on further in this story, because you and I spoke briefly and I know the richness of the story, so I want to deal with it in the increments that I am questioning it. You look back over what your mama told you and what you did between age 14 and 16 when you gave birth to your child, would you have done anything differently?
Oh, definitely. I would have not. I don't know if I regretted at 16 having a baby so much. I don't know if it was a regret yet. I don't know if I ever regretted it, but I never regretted just having one, I would say. I think I would have rather had my childhood, though.
Right. I don't think you regret the child. And if your children are listening, I don't want them to listen and think you regretted having them. However, the actions leading up to them, if there are any regrets, I think...
Well, at 16, I didn't. Action. At 16, I didn't have the regrets.
Mm-hmm.
So... Mm-hmm. At 16, I did. Let's just say that.
Yes. So, you had one child. How old is that child now?
26.
And you ever sit down and talk about the intimate details of bringing that child in this world?
She knows some of the details to an extent, but we really didn't talk about that part.
Mm-hmm.
We talked more of the later part, which what we'll talk about later. We talked more of that part.
Right. So let's move on. You had child one at 16, and you're dating Mr. Cute for what, 2 years?
Uh-huh.
Now you mommy and he's daddy. How did he
right.
take when he found out you were pregnant?
Oh, he was fine. Well, and the thing about it is, this is what I remember now that we've talked about this in like this. He had cheated on me, actually, before I got, well, I was already pregnant. But when I found out about the girl, come to find out he had cheated, he was seeing somebody else.
Wow.
But when I told him I was pregnant, he begged me to not break up with him because he said that he would leave the girl alone and give him one more chance. And so I did because I was pregnant. But that was also actually a sign, probably, of what was to come.
How old was Mr. Cute then?
He was 17.
So did he was excited?
No, when I was 14, he was 17.
Okay, so he's like 3 years older than you. So when you became pregnant, was he working? He was excited about you being pregnant.
He was very supportive, very supportive. Took me to my doctor's appointments. He was actually a good father, I would say, for that age, you know.
Yeah, but was he earning an income to look after a mother and a child?
Yeah, actually, at the time, he had money. He had a job. He had dropped out of school and got a job, like a real job, I guess.
Oh, okay.
They would say in a factory. So he had a good paying job for a 17-year-old and living at home with his mother.
Yes. So continue.
So then I went on to, at 17, I was starting to get very rebellious with my parents. And so because of my rebellion, I wasn't listening, so I wasn't meeting curfew, just staying out all night. My parents virtually put me out of the house, me and the baby. But they went over to my grandparents' house. And actually, over that house, I went and continued my same behavior, staying out, missing curfew, doing all those things. And so I was then put out of that house.
Out of your grandmother's house?
Huh?
Out of your grandmother's place now?
My grandmother's house, right.
Mm-hmm.
But I had been really, this is all in my 17th year, still in high school, mind you, and a baby.
Wow.
And so I would stay with my cousin. And my cousin's house was a little different. I really did do right. I wasn't really rebellious because by that time I was starting to get in the later months of my pregnancy. So it really wasn't, I wasn't really doing anything wrong. But
So now you were pregnant for the second time?
Yes, I was. Oh. I forgot to tell you that part.
Yeah.
I was eventually pregnant for the second time. And so I graduated, when I was living with them, I did graduate from high school pregnant with my second child. So it was probably about, my son was born in October, and some say school lets out in May, so maybe I was 6 months when I graduated with one child and one on the way. So I did accomplish graduation.
Wow.
So I was, I was then living with, huh?
You were then living with your cousin. But seeing
right.
that you had one toddler and one baby in the uterus, you are kind
right.
of thinking, no, I better calm down or else I'm not going to have any
right. Right. Yeah, I was kind of getting smart. But I guess because of all the way I had acted before, she put me out for really, I didn't really do anything.
That's cool. That's your cousin?
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
I hadn't done anything. I was really too pregnant to do anything. I wasn't, you know, but.
You had done something. How could she just put you out like that?
Well,
argument, no nothing?
Well, she didn't tell me in advance. What she did was she called a shelter, found me a place, and said, I got a place for you to stay.
Oh, okay, yeah. So because she just figured, I ain't going to feed 3 extra mouths, so let me put her in a place where the government is going to look after her.
Right. So I went to live in a shelter at 17.
All right.
And I'm one on the way. And we stayed there from May, I would say May because it was after grade. So from, I guess sometime after I graduated, maybe in June, July, all the way till October.
Uh-huh.
And so that time I stayed in a homeless shelter from June till October.
Uh-huh.
And so in October, I had a lady, well, maybe in June, no, she could, I could not get my own place till I turned 18. That was one. My birthday is August 20th. So in August 20th, the lady, one of the ladies at the shelter, she said, you cannot have a child in here.
Oh, Lord.
She used to work for the Housing Authority, which is like the project.
Yeah, I know Housing Authority. Yeah.
Right. She used to work there, so she kind of pulled some strings. And right October 1st, I moved into my own place in the project.
What you got? Did you get a Section 8 or what?
In the project, in the assist, you know, like the project.
Oh, yeah. The development.
Yeah.
Right.
And so me and my children, so I had my son on the 19th. So 19 days after I moved in, I had my second child.
Oh,
well, yeah. So around this time, my ex, my baby daddy, or how you want to call it, he moved in with me into this place.
Into the housing.
Into the house, right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he was an alcoholic, and he was drinking a lot.
Oh, Lord.
Right. So me and the two children, and he still was, I can't say a bad father. He he didn't make much money, but because at that time, somewhere in between that time, the job he had while he was living with his mother, he lost that job. So once he lost that one, he never really got another good one.
With the stress.
Up until that point.
The stress on the two kids and everything. So he turned to alcohol.
Right, exactly. And so during that time, the alcohol drinking, and so we were there, I would say, a little while longer. So I had in October, I had two children. And so I would say a year, and eventually while we were living there, not only was he drinking, smoking marijuana, he started hitting me.
Can I ask you a question, Terry?
Uh-huh.
How did you smuggle him into the housing?
It was like a building. You couldn't. Nobody knew. I mean, it was a huge development.
If his name is not on the lease, he's not supposed to be living there.
Oh yeah, I know.
I know this because I used to work at the Housing Authority, and the amazing thing is that I did the empowerment piece of it. I was actually hired by a federal grant. So although my office was housed in the Housing Authority office, I was not an employee of the Housing Authority. And I learned this because when I usually go to do home visit of the residents, and if I go there and see the men, they're begging me not to report them, that the men are living there. I said, no, honey. I'm just here to make sure you learn more things so that you will become employable. I don't care who you have living here. That's none of my business. You know. So I learned that from them letting me know that.
Yeah. It was a lot of that going on. It wasn't like, it was a norm, I guess, in that area.
So it
there
wasn't
a lot of
just
you.
Yeah, everybody was doing it, so just you. Nobody was going to turn you in. Take a break,
exactly.
Terry. I want to remind the listeners and the people in the chat room that you can call in 646-915-8166. My guest is Terry Clay, and she's sharing her story. And I want to check with this person on the phone if they have a question. Caller, your last four digits are 0230. Do you have any questions for my guest? Okay, I guess not. They're just listening. So we will continue with your conversation. So two babies, and now you're what, 17? No, 18. What? How old are you?
I'm 18.
Uh-huh.
18 and, let's see, 18 and a few months. So my son was born in October, so I would say he started really hitting me around and drinking, smoking, and doing all sorts of things when I was, yes, at that age. And I don't know if I even knew that men hit women. I never saw that growing up, so I know I didn't know it.
Wow.
But I didn't necessarily know to leave, I guess, either. I just didn't.
You were 19 years old, and you had the two babies, and you're looking over the past 4 years.
Right.
This is the first time you had a permanent place to call your own.
Right.
So before you pack up and leave, there's a lot of things that's racing through your innocent little head.
Right. Exactly.
So what happened? And were you on public assistance? How are you getting food for the baby and so on?
Baby. Oh, yeah, we were on public assistance, food stamps, welfare, all of that.
So.
Yep.
Age 19, 20, 21, what happened?
Well, eventually he did start hitting me, beating me, just doing all sorts of things, pulling out knives, scaring me half to death, just threatening. He would come in drunk, bust the windows out. I mean, he's done many things. And he still, I guess, tried to be good to the kids, I guess, and he was still, you know, but he was an alcoholic at this point.
How old was he by now? What, 25, 26, what?
Yeah, 20. Yeah, because he was only 3 years older than me. So if I was 19,
22.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so when I got to about 20, I was pregnant a third time.
Wow.
With another child. Still living there with the same guy. But he got a job offer from his brother had moved out of town to Memphis, Tennessee. And he had gotten a job offer there. And so what he decided to do was to go to Memphis first, see if he could get stable, live with his brother, and he would take my daughter with him, actually, the oldest one. So I only had one child and then one on the way. And that was probably about 4 months when he left. And so he went to Memphis, and he started really building a life, getting his own place, you know, that type of thing with my daughter. And then something happened where he really couldn't, you know, have a babysitter. So my daughter ended up coming back. So I had the two kids plus one on the way.
Right.
So finally he felt like he was stable enough to get us to move down there to Memphis. And so after I had my son, my third son, I went to Memphis probably when he was about, he wasn't that, he was a little baby, so it was like, you know, 3 or 4 or 5, 6 months maybe.
Right.
And what I did not know once I got down there, so I mentioned we moved down there, me and three kids at this point, one girl, two boys, and we moved into the place with him. But what I did not know, one that he had in turn, in Kentucky, he smoked marijuana.
Oh, Lord.
But what had happened was when he came to Memphis, Memphis was well above the game, I guess you want to call it that. And Memphis, they weren't really, you couldn't find marijuana. But what was out at that point, or just coming out, was crack.
Oh, Lord.
And because he was an addict of marijuana, he needed a high. So he, in turn, started smoking crack before, I didn't know this, before I got there.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
was he able to still hold a job?
Yes, he was a functional crack addict. What they would say, functional. And not really functional, it was just he was able to keep his job. He still was at home, and we had no food. I remember one time, because almost as soon as I got there, I got pregnant with the fourth child.
Oh,
and,
Terry,
yeah.
Can I ask you something? You never heard, you didn't hear about contraceptive those times or what?
I was on it all, the last three times I was on it, but I was very, I'm not a person that take pills every day or, you know, I would forget and those. I was that type of person. I wasn't. They didn't have the stuff they have now.
Yeah, you are lackadaisical in doing what you're supposed to do, and maybe you don't have the guidance for somebody to tell you about the IUD.
Right. Yeah, no, I didn't know anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have all kind of stuff. You know, I could probably easily not have had four kids at 21, but because they have a patch now, they have, you know, they have all sorts of things that they can.
Oh, I didn't know about the patch. Wow. So it's a choice.
They have things you can, all kind of things they have now that you could probably easily not have.
Yeah, and for those young boys and girls who are listening to this, whether you're listening live or on archive, we are not advocating for you to go out there and use contraceptive, because the best thing to do is to abstain. Abstinence is the
best thing.
And keep
yourself
for that special someone and that special day. So abstinence is the best thing, and it's the only thing we want you to go out there and practice. Because trust me, you just wait on that day. It's going to be so worth it.
That's right.
So worth it. Okay? So that's why we're taking our time here. So you gorgeous young ladies and handsome men, know that you can still date and you can respect your bodies. Don't get intimate. You can cuddle and all of that, but don't go beyond that, because you will regret it for different reasons. Okay, I just felt led to say that. Go ahead, Terry.
So, like I said, I was pregnant with the fourth one. When we got there, we realized that he was on crack. He was addicted, very, very addicted. He would virtually take his whole entire paycheck and spend it almost on that day. But he would, and then he would be depressed all week. Oh my gosh, it was horrible living with a crack addict. Just unreal. And he was still abusive. And he was a little bit less, he was a little different with the abuse, but he was still very abusive. I remember one time, and this was after I had my last child, the fourth one. She was a brand new baby, 1 month. And he came home, he had been drinking cases of beer and was swinging them back over my child's head. And it was just God that saved my baby, I know. So she has, you know, I tell her that, you got a plan, girl, trust me. Because the bat was so close to my head, I could hear it whiz.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And the baby was in my arm. So it was just a connection that would have killed somebody, one of us.
Mm.
And really, that's really almost the day. I think I left that night.
Because, wow, with your four children.
Yeah, and we went to a shelter. And after we went to the shelter, I really wasn't done with him. We were about to move, but the point is we ended up going back to the house. But at this point, because of his, I guess he just didn't have the money. He was getting, we were about to get evicted, and just because he was spending all the money on crack, he wasn't paying any rent. So we were about to get evicted. So he said, well, you all going to have to go back to Kentucky. And he wanted, and around that same time, I found some earrings in his pocket. Because, at this point, I forgot something. He had stopped smoking crack. But what happened was when he stopped smoking, he kind of transferred to alcoholism, like to the fifth power. I mean, he was drinking cases of beer, cases in a day. I mean, so much beer that I would go and pour beer out. I would go pour some out. Like pour two cans out and just throw it away so he wouldn't know that he was not so he wouldn't drink as much, you know?
Right. My God.
And so my mother had come to see us, and she said, I look so bad. She was like, I was like, oh, my God. She said, she looked at me like, I can't believe this is her.
This is my son.
So they had come to visit maybe like a month before. And then they left, and then a month later, I called them. We didn't have a phone or anything, but I had a neighbor across the hall, and she had let me use her phone. And I said, we need to come back because we're getting evicted. And she was like, okay, we'll send the money. And they sent the money like that day. And
wow.
we just packed up and left. But we weren't really broken up. We just were leaving into the meantime. But he had said that this is what happened. He had said that he had a place for him to stay. And I said, if we go back, then I'm not going to be with you anymore ever. And he was like, that's okay. But remember, I told you I found some earrings in his pocket. So we went on back. We went back to Kentucky, and I started getting myself together. And we had talked on the phone one day, and I called his house, and a girl on the phone. And she said they had been together. They had been seeing each other. Come to find out, that's where he had a place to stay at, was with her. He had a girlfriend. So first thing, he had dumped me and not for another woman.
How long did he have that lady?
Oh, I mean, I would just assume about 6 months before. After he stopped smoking the crack, it was around when he was just drinking only.
Right.
But about 6 months before I left. And so they were just very nasty to me and just mean, and why are you calling, and just crazy stuff. But anyway, the point is, I had already made up my mind I wasn't getting back with him ever in life anyway,
yeah,
so it didn't matter.
You were through.
And
you
so about a few months later, he ended up calling me trying to get back with me, and I was like, no way. Are you crazy?
No,
he's going with that woman.
Wow. Was he maintaining his children? Were he supporting the children?
That's what happened. After we broke up, he virtually became a deadbeat dad. He stopped totally. Like, did nothing. people think my kids are by different people because one time somebody asked me, well, the baby fathers, plural, are not in the kid's life. And I was like, my kids only have one father. He said, he got four kids with you and not taking care of them? I was like, no.
Wow. My God.
Yeah.
My God.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow, wow. Four kids, moved to another state, children's father addicted, fast forward, you had to call your mom, swallow your pride, call your mom and say, listen, I want to come home. And isn't that the beauty of parents? With the unconditional love that they had for you, they sent the money the same day. Because as parents, you don't want to see your children hurt.
That's right.
So she displayed unconditional love for her child and her grandchildren. And she welcomed you back home. So you went into her home when you returned?
Oh, yeah. I stayed there for 8 months. This was a different visit. I didn't ask for food. I wasn't doing nothing. I was very changed from
what I had
left
before. You got too much kids to be doing stupid things by then.
Yeah. Right. I was too busy. I didn't have time to do anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So you stayed there for 8 months and got your head together. And what happened?
I ended up going back to another different housing project again.
Mm-hmm.
But this time I only was there for, I worked. I was still working a job as a waitress. And then I had somebody babysit my kids. Mother would take my children to church on Saturday. So, I had two different people. My mother would take three kids on Saturday. My aunt would take the other. So my kids went to church every week. My mother even paid for them to go to private school. So that was, they even went to private school. So it was very, it was fine.
What a blessing.
For them.
What a blessing. What a blessing.
And so, but what happened was living in the projects again, I was like, I got to get off. I cannot do this forever. I cannot live broke. I cannot do this. And so my family were actually full of college graduates, and so that's what they taught, to go to college, to educate yourself. And the thing is about living on purpose, which really is my message, you have to find out who you are, what God created you to be. And so because all I knew is to go to college, and so I just picked something. And so I picked to go. Actually, my mother's a physical therapist, and I picked to be a physical therapist as well. So I started going to school to do that with four kids and work, and it was just hard. So it took me a very, very, very long time.
How old were you then?
I was 21 when I came back. So when I started school, I was about 20, 21, 22, in between that year. I kind of started back kind of quick.
Right. So you decide you're going to go into college to become a physical therapist.
Yes, that was the original plan.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was doing my prerequisites, I had one problem. I was taking a class, physics. Physics was hard. I took it 3 times, and I
Tell
never could pass it.
Tell me about it.
And so after the 3rd time, I said, well, maybe I'm supposed to do something else. So I looked, and I decided to become a nurse instead, where you didn't have to take physics. So I did kept, you know, but I only could take a few classes at a time, being that I worked and I had 4 kids, you know, just,
yeah.
You know, I'm just one person. And so it was year after year would go by, and then finally I had moved out of the projects. I got my own place, an apartment, you know, a regular apartment where I paid the rent, you know, that I was finally moving up, I guess. And I hated my job so much.
What?
I was like, I cannot do this.
What job were you engaged in then?
I was just working like at a factory.
Okay.
And I was working mostly, you know, it was paying the bills, but I said, this is not going to work for me to be able to do this forever. So I had to virtually kind of claim, I had to just make it happen. So what I did was I quit my job, and I utilized the system to get me off of the system. And
yeah,
so
yeah.
When I quit my job, I qualified for emergency Section 8.
Uh-huh.
And the Section 8 kind of kicked in quick, like within a few months.
Right.
And so when I got on Section 8, I was able to go, like, really quit my job. So,
wow.
And,
oh, yeah, because the Section 8 covered your rent, and then you were getting
yes.
the stamps to provide for the food. So you,
right.
you went to school to be a physical therapist or what?
No, a nurse. I went to nursing then.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I changed to nursing.
Yes.
I never did pass that physics class. I just couldn't. I didn't pass it, so I went
because
to change my major
physics.
To nursing. And so when I became, it took me still from moving into that apartment to that house. I moved in the house. It still
yes.
took me about another 5 years to graduate. But while I was in school, a teacher, one of the instructors, I finally got in the nursing program. I failed the 2nd semester. And so I was like, okay, so I'll try it again. Rolled, got back in, failed again. So around that time, my kids were getting older, and I started thinking, well, my daughter's going to need me to have some money by the time she goes to college.
Yes, yes.
So what I ended up doing was going to an LPN program.
Uh-huh.
And it was only a year more, and I said, well, let's just do this, and then I'll go back and finish my RN afterwards.
Yes, because once you have the license for the LPN, you could be working while you're studying for the RN.
That's exactly what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got to LPN school, I was lied on by an instructor.
Oh,
so Lord. I got put out of the program on a lie. They believed her, didn't listen to me. Then I got back in. Then her friend did something, got put out again. Got back in, and then I graduated. So it took me what would have been a year. It took me a year and a half, and I finally graduated as an LPN with the intention, the original intention, to go back after. I only needed to get 6 months of work under my belt
yes,
and to go
yes.
back and become an RN. Because it would have only taken me about another year to be another year and so. To get the prerequisites for the RN, because you could just if you're an LPN, you can just add on; they won't take that long.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I want to remind the people in the chat room if they have any questions to type it in the chat room. I want to welcome Vanna XK to the show. The number to call in, guys, is 646-915-8166. My guest is Miss Terry Clay out of Atlanta, Georgia, and she is sharing her amazing life story for us to hear from. Yes, so again, I want to apologize. The first guest, patient's eczema, because of some unforeseen circumstances, we did not have them on the show again, so we are just here with Miss Terry Clay. And as I say, we do what we have to do. We are not going to let ego get into the way of what we are doing. We are here to do God's work and to showcase his people. So I really don't have time for egos getting in the way. Mar Ben, my friend, I love you as usual, and thanks for coming. Guest 36, 77. If you have any questions, and caller on the phone line, your last four digits are 0230. Raise your hand by touching 1 if you have any questions for my guest. And I'm going to go to a commercial break, and then I'm going to be right back with you. Remember the date for the Vision Transformation Revolution Conference is March the 23rd to the 26th at the Broadway Millennium Hotel in New York City, March 2012. So you got to be there.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
I also want to ask you, please, to mark this show favorite so that you can be kept informed of the guests that we will have on each week, twice a week. And follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. And on Facebook, I would love for you to like the fan page, Vision Weekend Conference. Once you type in Vision Weekend Conference, it's the first one that comes up at the top. Click on it, like it, and share it with your friends. Okay, so back to my guest, Terry Clay, that is sharing her amazing story. And listen, I'm sure you have a question or a comment. Call in 646-915-8166. So you went to school, it took you some time to graduate, but in spite of all the challenges that you encountered by being kicked out, being lied on, but you pursue it to the end, and you graduated. Nothing, absolutely nothing, did not derail you because you were focused. And you said, regardless, lie on me. Doesn't matter. I'm still coming back. And I'm going to show you that I'm going to graduate.
That's right. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. I just kept fighting and fighting. And I eventually, when I got put out of the school, I had to fight to get back in. I had to file a grievance. I had to go in front of a board of people to prove that the lady had lied. And one of the things that was blessing to me that one of my teachers had taught me to write everything down.
Yeah.
So I knew the lady was actually a racist. And I knew she was, and I could feel it. And so I started to write everything she did down. She said this, I said this, she said, you know, every little thing that happened, I would go straight home. If I felt something funny, I would go and write it down. Well, when she lied on me and I got put out of the program, when I went to file a grievance, I had a pile of papers. I had over 40 pages written and typed up. And
wonderful.
So when I went to the meeting to get back into the school, they had to read through 40 pages. On the other hand, she had written things on a piece of paper. She just tore it off and written.
That's
so
right.
Her evidence was just some, she didn't take it light. She didn't. She just thought, she just knew she was going to win, and
that's
I just
right.
knew she wasn't.
Because she probably have done that to a lot more people before you.
That's
but
right.
you know, nothing happens by accident. It's a good thing that other teacher encourage you about documentation.
Right.
Because when you have proper documentation, nothing on this earth can challenge that. And I
exactly.
bet she was floored when she saw the quality of documentation you had. I bet she was
I didn't see it.
Wow.
I wasn't able to see, like, when they showed her the papers, like, you know, if they, she didn't come to the meeting. That was the funny thing. She didn't show up. I was there alone. Maybe she thought I wasn't going to fight, but she didn't know me.
Right.
And she didn't show up to the meeting. She just sent her notes. And then, so I don't know if they showed it to her, but I did hear, like, I guess you fast forward, she had eventually got fired. So she did eventually get found out, I guess, by somebody.
Yeah, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Because, you know, there's an old saying that say if you see something smell fishy, it is fishy. So they probably found out that she has been doing this for a long time. And a lot of times, students do not fight back.
You just give up,
you know? So it's a good, I want to commend you and standing up for yourself. So,
fast forward,
you graduate nursing school. However, as you were doing nursing, you realized that it was really not what you were meant for?
That's right. And that it was just 3 months later. And one of the things for me was, I guess the turnoff was for nursing. I met so many other people that were just like that lady. They were the same personality. Not that all nurses are that way or anything, but that's just the people that I ran into. And it just turned me totally off. I knew it was never, I can go this way, that way, the other way. And nurses are real consistent. They were real attention to detail. I am like, the personality of a nurse is not me at all. It's just that if you want the description of what a nurse should be, a good nurse, it's not me.
But
so
you know,
I knew.
Terry, that, let me tell you something. Those 10 years you were in school, because there were certain lessons you had to learn that I'm sure now if you take the time to go back over that journey from then until now, you can highlight so many valuable experiences that you got out of that time. Because
I'm telling you,
the woman I'm talking to today, if you had not gone through that experience, we would not be having this conversation today.
Right. Yes, I believe it. I believe it. I did a video I do videos every once in a while. I'm on YouTube. And the videos I did the other day was called "It's His Way Is Perfect." And I said, when I saw the text about His way being perfect, meaning God's way being perfect, does it mean that journey I went through, the domestic violence, 4-1? No, His way is still perfect because it's all in line with the plan. And the plan is what it's all about. So
that's right.
So it was
When did you get that aha moment and that revelation that told you, oh, man, you're not cut out for that nursing thing, so here's what you got to do? When was that?
It was 3 months later when I knew that it was not my purpose, but it still took me 3 years to get the real revelation of what I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I was wrong in 3 months, but I didn't find out what I was here to do for three more years.
I don't think, if I may respectfully disagree with you, I don't think you were wrong. That was not your end all. That was not what you're supposed to do for the rest of your life. But trust me, there was a reason you go through that training. There was a reason you did that job for 3 months. You might not have identified them yet. But if you go back, if you're somebody who journal and things like that, you go back and you look at it, you'll see that there was something. Here is what I got out of that experience. And
I can tell you some things I did learn for being a nurse, because I wasn't able to quit, you know, until a year or so ago, because I still had to pay, you know, I still had to do it until I started doing the speaking more full time. But I can see plenty of lessons. Like I said, I did learn more attention to detail because I was around those people. So that the things that a nurse is, because I would start working on myself being better at certain things because I saw them. Because even though I was a nurse and I had to still do it, I still couldn't be a danger to a patient or anything like that. So I still learned some qualities that nurses had, even though I didn't like it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You didn't like the vocation, but you liked the people you were serving. And
right.
Let me tell you something. I can so relate to what you're saying because I am a former nurse myself, and when I worked in hospital, I had so much void. The one thing was consistent with me is that I was always talking with my patients. And my coworkers
right.
used to fuss with me how long it takes me to give medication because I don't just pop the medication, I'm talking to people. And then
right.
when I felt that void, I went to public health school to become a public health nurse where I work out in the community. It was,
right.
the void kind of narrowed a little, but it still wasn't what I felt I was supposed to be doing. Then I left and
right.
I went to the festival commission. Well, a big portion of the void filled up because at that time I was going to different districts, different parishes, working with different people to identify what they were good at doing and get them to the national exhibition.
Right.
All that time I didn't know anything about coaching and all of that. So it wasn't until I came here to the United States I understand that there was a thing called coaching. And as I look back over, that's what I've been doing my entire life without putting that label on. And
right.
I have a call, Terry. If you hold on, let me see if this caller
sure.
has a question.
Hello.
Caller, your last four digits are 0370. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. I do. I want to know. You're a counselor, right?
Hold on. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
Oh, my name is Bill, and I'm calling from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am wonderful. What's your question, please?
Well, what kind of counselor are you at first? I want to make sure it's the appropriate question for you.
I beg your pardon?
I want to make sure the question is appropriate for you. What type of counselor are you?
I am a coach. I am a transformational teacher and coach, and I'm also an empowerment specialist. I help people connect with their authentic selves so they can live their lives on purpose.
This is exactly what I needed. I have been having these reoccurring thoughts of, like, dwarves invading my bedroom late at night and possibly sexually assaulting me. Is this I don't know if it's a dream, or how do I get it out of my head?
Well, I think you need to go see a psychotherapist. I am an empowerment specialist. I am not a psychotherapist, and neither is my guest. So what,
okay.
I say you are from Los Angeles, maybe you can look in your local directory and call up a psychotherapist, because that sounds as if it's a conversation for one. I send you my blessing and light. Okay, Bill. All right. So, Terry, back to you. I want to welcome guest 5170-5165-5130 to the show. All right, Terry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So, we're talking about you realizing that there was a void and that wasn't what you're meant to do. It took you 3 years. What happened when you put your finger on the pulse and said, this is it? Can you remember that infamous day?
Yeah, I heard a sermon. I had already read a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. I think a lot of people have heard of that book.
Uh-huh.
And that's really what kind of made me start thinking that, I think I need to find my purpose. I'm not living on purpose. I knew that, but I just didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so the day happened that I saw a sermon by T.D. Jakes. And the sermon, only part of the sermon I remember is he said, if you look along the course of your life, you will see inklings of your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so that made me just go, I even went serious with it. I went and got a piece of paper. I went and got a pen. And also around that time, I'd heard somebody say, your purpose is what everybody says you. So I looked around the course of my life, one, and then I said, what does everybody say I am? So I got a pencil and paper and wrote everything down. And one thing I knew is I spoke well in front of people. I knew I was an encourager. I was a person that could help people be better. They always wanted to talk to me about what, you know, I was always helping people in that way. They would call me and I would be encouraging and supportive of them. So I really, because I was a, remember I told you all early on that I was a, from a family full of college graduates, my mindset only went college. So I started to think, what type of degree do I need to get to become these things on the list here?
Mm-hmm.
So what I looked for originally was, what college degree could I go get?
Mm-hmm.
And so I started looking, and I really never found anything. Maybe communications was kind of close to what I guess, wrote down.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
then I guess God kind of told me, no, you're a speaker. You're a speaker. So I started really following other motivational speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized what they did was really they went to classes, they read books, they went to other workshops from other people, training people how to be speakers. So really that's what I started to do instead of looking for a degree per se.
Mm-hmm.
I started learning how to build my career up.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually that's what I do now. That's how I started doing motivational speaking, doing coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I found is that I love kids, and I was helping kids to travel in my church.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to help low-income kids to travel, and I wanted them to be able to go to Africa, go to Florida, go to, if they lived in California, go to Florida to get out of their boxes. So what I did was I started opening up, just in my church, helping kids to travel and figuring out a way to get the money for them to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the two things that I started to focus on, and I am in the process of my nonprofit is called Stepping Out of the Box. And
mm-hmm.
that's to help low-income kids to travel. And then, of course, I do speaking. I do coaching as well. And I have videos on YouTube. I mean, I'm doing every part of helping people to live on purpose that I know how. I have my own radio show as well. So
now,
that's how I got there.
Now that you have identified what your calling and purpose is, how do you feel? As you look at your life now, how would you express who Terry is right now? What pushes you out of your bed each day?
That's what pushes me out, helping people to live on purpose, helping to make a difference. I work on my business is what I do. It's just me working on my business is what gets me out of the bed, helping people to make a difference. And, you know, I get that confirmation. I have my following on Facebook, Twitter, or, you know, a lot of people tell me, they'll hit me up in my inbox or they'll send me an email. You really inspired me today. You still really encouraged me today. So I know that I am doing what I'm supposed to do because I get constant confirmation from other people that this has made a difference. And so the thing about nursing, which if we could go back a little bit, nursing is helping people. And so that's why I went to be a nurse because I thought I wanted to help people. And I still want to help people, but it wasn't in the way I thought. It's in the way that I'm helping them now.
What are the top five reasons why you do what you do?
Oh, wow. Okay, one would be to make a difference. I do it because, one, it's my purpose to do it. I was created to do this. You have to be obedient to what your assignment is. That's two, and maybe even should be number one, to be obedient. Three, by other than making a difference, I want to change the world. I don't want, when I leave this world, they're going to say Terry Clay was here. You got to remember that Terry Clay was here because I am going to have changed the world in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Another way is another thing about helping the kids to travel, I want to change them. I want them to see that the world is just not their box. But by helping kids to travel, kids, if you don't leave your town, you're just in that one town, you're never going to see what the world is. So I want to help them to see the world in a different place so they can know the world is just not this little place that you're seeing that you're in. So that's one another reason why I do what I do. And I guess number five is to be a helper, just to be of service to somebody. I got to help somebody. So that's it.
You mentioned quite energetically that you want to change the world, and when you leave here, you want the world to know that Terry Clay was here. What kind of a mark and legacy you are looking to leave as your icon on this world when you are no longer here?
One is, as I was saying, my mission is to help people to live on purpose. I think there are so many people that do not realize they do not have to stay stuck in that job or stuck in that business that they're doing just to make money or just to do this or that, whatever reason they think they have to do it. Because sometimes people do things because their parents want them to do it. But if you just live on purpose, it is all going to work out for one. And the feeling that you get, I remember how miserable I felt going to work as a nurse. I don't want anybody to feel like that. So my legacy is I'm going to change the world in such a way that people know that they must live on purpose. And that is what's going to change the world. Because if there are more people doing their assignments, the world is going to change anyway. Because more and more people are doing what they were created to do, thus the world is going to change. Because if they don't fulfill their purpose, then we miss out on their greatness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good motto of Terry Clay Enterprises. So I want to help people to fulfill their purpose so that we don't miss out on their greatness.
Mm. It's amazing, and that's very interesting, because it is important to know that what we are doing, especially when we talk about purpose and calling and destiny and all that stuff, a lot of people really don't enforce the fact that when you do all of those things, it's really not about you. It's about the other person. Because if you're walking and operating in your calling and your purpose and it's all about you, you miss it. You have missed it all together. I want to welcome Charles S.J. Dennis to the show. Charles, feel free to call in. The number is 646-915-8166. And I have a caller on. I'm going to check to see if the caller has a question. Caller, your first three digits are 863. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
Yes, this is Anodia Love. I'm calling from Lakeland, Florida.
Hello, Sister Love. How are you, ma'am?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, ma'am.
Do you have a question for my honored guest?
No, ma'am. I was just dialing in. I don't know why it connected me to say something, but I just wanted to make sure I was on board.
No, I'm the one who opened your phone because I thought you wanted to speak. You are just listening, and you can continue listening. If you
ma'am.
Have a question before we go off, you can just touch one and I'll bring you back. Thanks for your support.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, yes. We are almost finished and you wonder where the time go. I want to commend you for the work that you're doing and the lives that you are touching. And you say something I want to piggyback on. It's about your commitment to having kids travel outside of their little area. Because a lot of people grow up in that little town, they never leave. And as you rightly say, they don't know what the rest of the world look like. And there's so much more out there.
That's right.
So that is something powerful that you're doing for the children. And you just continue doing that. So what I want for you to do, I want for you to just summarize our conversation. What would you like to leave the listeners with? If they do not remember anything we spoke about during this past hour and a half, what you want them to remember. I want you to do that, and then I would like you to tell people how to get in touch with you.
Okay. Well, the main thing that I would like people to learn from this lesson is that whatever your dreams are, whatever you're trying to be, whatever you're working on being, never give up. To keep fighting, and if you just keep fighting, eventually your dream will come true. And not only just accomplish your dreams, make sure your dreams, whatever your dreams are in coincide with what God has for you to do. Because, again, what I said before is you don't fulfill your purpose, the world, we miss out on your greatness. So we don't want to, we definitely do not want to do that.
That's your summary?
That's it.
Okay. Would you please tell people how to get in touch with you?
I'm at www.terri.clay.
Say slower so somebody can type it in the chat room. Vanna, maybe you want to type that. Go ahead, slower, please. www.
Terri. And then spell that with T-E-R-R-I.
T-E-R-R-I.
Yeah, Clay. Inspired. And that's I-N-S-P-I-R-E-S, plural, .com. So Terri Clay Inspired.
Inspired? Inspired?
It's I-N-S-P-I-R-E-S. S, like Sam.
Okay.
.com. And then I'm T. Clay, I-S, on Facebook and YouTube. And I'm Terri Clay on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. All right. So come on, guys, in the chat room. Do you have any questions? We're coming down, winding down. The number is 646-915-8166. Do you have any questions or remarks or comments? This is your time to call in. My guest is Terri Clay, and I just want to thank her for so eloquently sharing her story. And just give us a step-by-step journey of what this was for her. And I tell you something. I know that she has come out stronger than if she had not gone through these adversities. And as I always say, adversities are not mistakes, because so long as we look at the adversities and dissect them to find the lessons that are there for us to learn, we find out that we come out so much stronger than if we put them aside and throw our hands up and say, this is it, I am throwing in the towel. So right. I just pray that there's something that you have heard here today on this show that can help you to make a difference in what you're doing and to find the way to let your light shine. So come on, guys, in the chat room. This is it. Any questions for you? The number to call is 646-915-8166. If you have not yet marked the show favorite, I encourage you to do that, to mark it favorite. And follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, and on LinkedIn, and all of them. Every social media you check out there, we are there. We have a fan page, the Vision Weekend Conference on Facebook. I ask for you, please, to just like it and just share it with other people so that I've set a goal for 2,500 likes by the 15th of October. In order for me to do that, I need your help. So, while I'm waiting for the phone to ring off the hook, I don't hear it's ringing. I don't see anybody else in the chat room. So, if there's nothing else, do you have a closing thought, Terri, before I go to off the air? Do you have a closing thought?
I just want to thank you for allowing me to come to the show. I appreciate being here,
and I have enjoyed change. I'm praying that somebody's life was changed and they know that with God all things are possible, and that if they just keep trying and keep fighting, they eventually will win, whatever they are trying to do.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. And listen, guys, we have 5 minutes. I don't know if anybody wants to call in, or for the people in the chat room, if you have a question, just go ahead and type it. My guest is still on the line. My guest was Terry Clay. I just apologize for you guys. We were supposed to have some guests from Nigeria on, and that did not work out, and for different reasons. So I'll go and change the episode on that. If you came on with the hope of hearing them, they're just not on. So it is what it is. Just type your... just type your question if you have a question in the chat room. And if you don't, I want to thank all of you for coming. And to know that you heard Miss Clay sharing what it took for her to really connect with her calling and purpose. I just want to encourage you to know that you were created for a destiny, and do not allow anyone or any situation to deter you. I want to encourage you to join us on Wednesday at 10 a.m. I'm not sure who my guest is yet. I have not confirmed it, but I encourage you to come back. The one thing I can promise you, it's going to be good. It is really, really, really going to be good. I want to thank you, Terry, for coming on the show. I want to thank Charles and Vanna. I want to thank Miss Zendovia Brown, Love, for coming on the show again. I thank you for your support, my sister. I love each and every one of you, and I want to encourage you to just follow your destiny.
My destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this place. Hallelujah. For every